Hello, and welcome to The Backstory. My name is Tim Waters, and as a volunteer for Longmont Public Media, I host this program, which is an opportunity for Longmonters to learn more about what's going on in your town. And today, we have two guests who are familiar to viewers of The Backstory, and certainly familiar to all of Longmonters as two members, senior members of the city management team. Jim Golden, our chief financial officer, and Dale Rademacher, who is the deputy city manager. And our topic today is one that should be familiar to Longmonters, Costco, and Costco's corporate decision to expand to Longmont, which we'll put this in a time frame in just a second. But it's a conversation that's been underway for a while. It's had some new visibility just recently because of actions of the city council, but it does tee up now kind of an accelerated pace of visible activity. And for Longmonters who are curious about, and I know I get this question a lot as with another hat on, what's the timeline and when are we going to see Costco and when do we get a chance to start shopping there? So this will answer, I think, virtually every question that's out there. And if not, you know how to get in touch with these two fellows or others in the city if you have questions, if you want to follow on. So to both Jim and Dale, thank you for, I'm going to thank you now. I'm going to thank you again at the end of this, both for your time today and the remarkable work you do on behalf of the residents of Longmont. I hope people appreciate, I'm guessing they do, but appreciate just what you two and your colleagues give to this town in terms of your expertise, a lifetime of service to Longmont. So thanks for all that. This project has been in the works for coming up almost on 2 years. As I recall, we did the first episode of A Backstory, I think in early November of 2021, as the council was about to make a decision, but that was following actually months of kind of preliminary work, right? Give us the short history of this and where we started and how we got to where we are and where we are right now.
So I'll start off, and I'm sure Jim can fill in some of the blanks, but actually the city began being involved in the effort back in 2020 and possibly even before that.
Middle of 19.
2019, right. And at the time, Costco was interested in moving to the Longmont market, and they were trying to find a good location to do that on. And there were a number of areas that were considered in that process. And the city really got sort of heavily involved in it as it was moving forward, and together with the property owner brought forward this property, the current site, which is just east of the Harvest Junction commercial development on East Ken Pratt Boulevard. And so the city and property owner, this has really been sort of the classic public-private partnership, where private property owners, Costco, and city have come together to craft an agreement, and that agreement city council did act on in December of 2020 when they approved the we'll refer to it as the P3 agreement, but it was a public-private partnership. And in that agreement, it laid out the different roles and responsibilities of the city and Costco and the developer who is Reggie Golden is the owner. The company he's working it through is Diamond G Concrete. And in that agreement, there was the city had several interests in mind. First and foremost, of course, was landing and getting a Costco warehouse here in Longmont, as opposed to having it located in one of our neighboring cities. And then secondly, we also have a large community need and interest in the affordable housing area. And so those were our two primary focus areas going into the project. And we were able to craft an agreement that provided about 17 acres for Costco to come in and build their warehouse at, and then also an additional 9 acres for the city to use in the future for affordable housing needs in our community. As part of that, there's a cost sharing of the public improvements, and those were based upon the acreages between the acres in the city's column, which were the 17 acres for Costco and the 9 acres for affordable housing, about 26 acres. And then about 22.66 acres that were being retained by the private property owner. And so that was the ratio that was used then to split the costs for the public improvements, meaning the streets, the utilities, all that type of work, as well as to allocate those costs back into the city, as a partner in the project. Costco was also bringing originally about $6.16 million to the table to go towards the costs associated with the private site development costs, things like building the parking lots and utilities on their 17-acre site. The city was called on to back that up to $3 million in the event that the cost went above 6.16. And all of that was sort of memorialized in the P3 agreement back in 2020. And so that's sort of the background. You know, and the property, even going before Costco, it was annexed into the city as part of the Irwin Thomas annexation. Several years ago, it was a very large annexation of several parcels into the city. And it was slated to be the entire area to be gravel mined. And part of what this project is also doing is revising that PUD on the property, removing, eliminating, if you will, reducing the amount of area that's going to be gravel mined, and essentially pushing that mining activity further to the east of the apartments that are out there, as well as the single family home. So that was a long answer, but Jim, anything you want to add?
How could I add anything to that?
There's a lot going on with the project. So just, I want to circle back just on a couple of points to reiterate. This land was going to be gravel mined, this property. There still may be some gravel mining east of what's going to be developed. But as people think about land use and what's the best and highest use of that land, the alternative to a Costco was gravel mining. So people need to just kind of contemplate that. You also made reference to locating in Longmont versus other municipalities. What should people know when Costco in particular, or corporations in general, look to expand? Do they have a single location in mind, or are they looking at a range of options in addition to what they finally settle on with, in this case, with this 17 acres or part of this combination, this public-private partnership in Longmont?
So maybe I'll try it that one. So, you know, with Costco, they were, they have locations in Superior and Thornton and Timnath. So pretty much those are their three closest locations to Longmont, which aren't necessarily that close for Longmont shoppers. But I think what Costco's looking at is their areas that they're serving and identifying where they may be not reaching customers as well as in other areas. And they know who their customers are from the data they have from folks making their purchases with credit cards and such. So they did have an intention to be somewhere in this area. They were certainly taking interest in the fact that Longmont has grown to a size where we have a pretty good population base here, but we're also in a location that's central to meeting some other areas that they are possibly not serving to the west of us, even to the north of us and to the east of us. And so they were going to locate somewhere in the general vicinity. It didn't necessarily need to be within Longmont though. And so we did know that what we were dealing with is the potential of a Costco either being built in Longmont or being built near Longmont. And if it's being built near Longmont and not within the city limits, then that's a totally different sales tax revenue situation for the city. And that's something we could not really see happen. We had to make sure that that took place here within the city limits.
So when you when any municipality, Longmont in particular, has an opportunity to work with a corporation to do this kind of expansion, and there are competing venues, it's not always that you calculate potential losses along with gains. But in this case, sounds like the calculus required also the analysis of what do we lose? If this Costco locates 1 mile to the east of city of our eastern city limit or boundary, as opposed to 1 mile west, those implications are pretty significant in terms of the economics, the economic impact in Longmont. Is that fair?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, even having a Costco locate here in Longmont is going to certainly have an impact on businesses that already exist here in Longmont, that they will potentially lose some sales. For the city, that's going to just distribute it from one entity that's in the city to another entity within the city, and we would still receive that revenue. But if it's a mile outside the city of Longmont, like you referred to, then those businesses are still going to lose that business, because Longmont residents are now, instead of shopping at current retailers, are potentially going to go a mile outside the city because they prefer to shop at a Costco, and we would lose significant sales tax revenue.
Yeah, I know, as Costco customers, my wife and I, and we frequent the Costco in Thornton. Every time I leave, I think, gosh, this is sales tax that could be going to Longmont. It's not that we don't shop locally. We do a lot of business in town. And I don't imagine having a Costco in closer proximity means we shop there more or we shop any less in our local businesses. It simply is a convenience. And actually, in terms of the environment, for all of the narrative there is about environmental impacts, in some ways, the beneficial effect is fewer of us are driving those miles, right, to Thornton or Timnath or Superior, wherever you might be shopping in a Costco. So the land would have been used for gravel mining had it not been used for Costco. Had it been located just outside our city limits, there would have been this sucking sound, right, of tax revenues leaving Longmont as opposed to staying in Longmont. Just drill down some more on the economics of it. There was a cost allocated to this early on. That's the decision a city council just recently made, added to the funding for this. So you might just explain why. All that represents, and maybe parse it this way, Dale, kind of give us that update. And then Jim, you have specific responsibility to oversee city investments and returns on investments. And you concluded this is a pretty good investment, as opposed to just a cost. And so it'd be interesting to get your take on, from your financial expertise, kind of what does that investment look like? What are the schedule of returns, and both short term, when whatever debt we accept or cost, when are those covered? And then what does it look like over the long run? But Dale, bring us up to date on why did the city council have to make an adjustment to the funding for this? And you might also just talk about why does an outfit as big as Costco, why do they want cities or need cities to be bringing money to the table anyway? They have lots of money. Why do they need us to have skin in this game?
So just quickly, the reason the costs changed on the project were really no different than what all of us are seeing out in the marketplace right now. There is an increased level of inflation overall in the overall economy. Probably more acutely, though, in the construction industry, several things are in play, both an increase in the cost of everything from PVC pipe to steel, coupled together with supply chain interruptions that have really driven up the costs, especially when we have such a sort of a vibrant construction industry going on right now along the entire region in the Front Range of Colorado. And arguably in many areas across the country. And so you put all that together, the natural outcome is classic supply and demand, where prices are going to go up. And so we're not immune to that. And what we've done since 2020, when the council originally approved the agreement, is we've now received the actual construction bids from contractors that have really sort of drilled down to a far deeper a level of review and analysis to arrive at those construction costs. Those costs are the ones that we are now included in our project estimates, while still keeping a contingency in there, because this project is going to take anywhere from 12 to 18 months to build, from the time we start until the time the store is opened. And during that time, you can run into construction issues that raise the cost. You can also run into additional cost inflationary issues that happen. So we believe we should be in pretty good shape with the contingencies that we have, which are about 10% of those bid amounts. And so, you know, the next steps that we're going through are to, we're working hard now, given the council's action recently at the council meeting to approve the appropriation of additional funds, is to complete and prepare all the documents necessary to go to a closing. And those are everything from the escrow agreements to the final plats of the property that need to be completed in order for land to be sold and conveyed. So we're working hard to get to closing in the first half of February. And it's our understanding and expectation that Costco will then give direction to the developer and contractor to commence with construction. And then it's just a matter of how Mother Nature treats us in February and March. As we all know, we tend to get a bunch of snow or not. So, but we're going to be under construction. And so people will start to see some significant activity in the area. But Jim may want to also talk further about some of the cost benefits and cost to the city and the payback periods.
So Jim, just before we get started, so we should expect to see dirt moving by the end of March, depending on weather. And
I think end of March would be reasonable. Again, if we're not under a foot of snow.
And as we're recording this, we're anticipating the snowstorm in the next 36 hours. So, yeah. So I heard a number once upon a time early in this discussion that once all that's done, once Costco's ready to start going vertical, once the horizontal infrastructure's work is finished, it takes them about 100 days to actually construct the warehouse. Is that about right?
You're in the ballpark. That too has gotten a little bit longer, I believe, because of difficulties in obtaining materials. Yeah. Now about 130 days from the day that the developer turns over to Costco a pad-ready site that Costco will take to erect and open the building.
That's pretty remarkable.
That's amazing that they can put it up in that short a time frame.
So Jim, talk about the economics of it and kind of investments and returns on investments and long-term forecasts.
Sure, I will. But I will say that even though we're expecting a snowstorm within 36 hours, I think, you know, this is Colorado. So by the time most people see half the people see this, that snow will be gone, right? So
it should be melted.
That's right, it's Colorado.
So as far as this is an investment, I believe I can safely say that Costco would be by far our largest retail sales generator in the city. We've got sales projections from Costco, and we believe that they're reasonable based on what we know other nearby Costco's have generated. And so we're projecting that in the first year of operation, this Costco would generate over $4 million of sales tax to the city. Now, as I mentioned before, some sales will be transferred from elsewhere in the city. We call that cannibalization. and we realize and acknowledge that. We're projecting that the city would still net over $3 million on net of cannibalization of new sales tax in the first year. That's a rough estimate, and we could be wrong in either direction. But still, it's a significant amount of new sales tax, and so we think that that's a pretty strong investment for the city. And really, the reason why we think there's so much new sales tax is what we were talking about, is that Longmont residents currently travel to other Costcos to shop currently. But in addition to that, by Longmont having its Costco here, locating here in the city, it would draw shoppers from outside of Longmont that are not maybe currently shopping here in Longmont. So that's a key part as well of bringing this development into the city, is not just what it generates, but what it could bring with it, maybe as other retail might open around it that isn't currently located here in Longmont. And plus the folks that might come into Longmont that aren't shopping now, but would come here to shop at a Costco. So we did make those estimates, and the hard costs for the Costco portion of this project, just separating out the affordable housing part of this, the Costco hard costs are $10.86 million with our current estimates. And so we are estimating that we would recover the gross sales tax, with gross sales tax, we would recover that amount within 28 months of opening. And then if we just look at net sales tax, backing out the cannibalized portion, it would recover within 43 months of opening. So we think that's a pretty good investment, because over the long term, the city could see over $90 million of sales tax from a Costco in over the next 20 years. And that would be $73 million net of the cannibalization. So those are big dollars that can really go a long ways here for the city.
And I don't want to overstate this, which I'm prone to do, but listeners should know, Jim Golden, like other chief financial officers, gets paid to be conservative. There aren't very many chief financial officers who's last as long as he has in any organization with being anything other than balanced and a bit conservative in their estimates. That's their job. That's his job. Costco folks are less conservative when they do their forecasting. So I won't say the numbers, for fear that you know, raises too many expectations. But Longmonters should know that what Jim just shared was probably the most conservative forecast or estimate of what those net revenues, sales tax revenues, would look like to Longmont over the next 20 years. And if you guys could kind of tag team, put that in the context, 20 years in a municipality like Longmont, where we are 20 years from now, we've forecasted build out in Longmont, meaning residential kind of getting to the limits of our residential capacity, or you know, space use utilizations of land in the year, I think 2035. That's what the Envision Longmont master plan forecast, I think, is built up by around 2035. And I think the original build out was like 116,000 residents, and maybe with density we get to 125,000, but somewhere in that range. But over that 20-year period of time, we're going to start to see fewer homes built, I would guess. We need to see homes built right now for our housing crisis, but over time. And as that declines, as residential construction declines, that has a huge impact on the city's budget, does it not?
Yeah, it does. I mean, in my career, we've only seen a growing retail base. And so it's not something that we've had to deal with except in periods of time when the economy has slowed dramatically. But when that does occur, we have very tight budgets. It becomes a problem to be able to allocate resources for all the various services that the city is providing. So what it's really critical, I think, looking ahead, that we have those type of core retail that is going to be, you know, over there there in the long term, the type of retail that doesn't suffer through even like the pandemic that we just have gone through over the last few years, but in the worst part of that pandemic, this type of retail actually thrived. And I think Longmont has been able to benefit in a period like that because of the fact that its retail is of the core type of necessary purchases versus some of the frill type stuff you might see in a regional mall. And being dependent on that type of revenue is not always consistent throughout different economic cycles.
I just think Longmonters, I mean, part of the story here, this is Longmont, the backstory is all about storytelling. Part of the story is what this looks like, not just today, but as you, not just the financial forecast, but in the context of other economics in a municipality like this, as you start to reach build out and making good decisions today that position the city well for 2035 and beyond in terms of continuity of revenues. I know that Dale, you mentioned the 17 acres on which the Costco site will sit. There's the 9 acres the city has purchased or is purchasing for the development of housing. That leaves some other acreage. You mentioned another 26 or so, 22 acres to be developed. And I understand this is, I'm asking you to do some speculation. But what would you, is there speculation you're willing to do about what you might see in terms of other development around a Costco? Because that's what we see around Costco's, right? That Costco and other businesses know where those synergies are and which would like to be in close proximity to a box store like a Costco or a warehouse like a Costco.
So I don't know that we are aware of any specific entity that might come in, but there are a number of commercial pad sites that are being developed and platted as part of the overall effort here. And I believe what you see around other Costco's are complementary types of businesses. Could be restaurants that will come in that people like to shop and then like to go out to eat close to where they are. Could be other types of industries that or businesses, I should say, that don't compete necessarily with Costco, but sort of have a synergy with them. I'm confident that they are going to be very attractive commercial sites, given the sort of that regional draw that comes with a Costco. And I would anticipate that there's going to be a bit of competition on who finally purchases and acquires those sites and builds on them. So, it's hard to speculate, but I don't believe any of our financial models, and I'll have Jim clarify me, are necessarily relying on additional sales tax coming in from those development pads. But it's reasonable to expect that will be occurring probably not long after the Costco warehouse is open itself. So,
Jumon, we'll put you on the spot to speculate. I appreciate your willingness to go that far, Dale. But you are talking about an ecosystem, an economic kind of financial ecosystem that begins to develop around a facility like a Costco warehouse. And I just think that's part of the story. And Longmonters, stay tuned. I think there's some will be some pretty interesting and exciting opportunities to develop around this. Let's assume we fast forward. We get past March. There have been supply chain issues. We labor costs go up. Let's assume at some point in the future, Jim, Costco says, "Well, we're overextending ourselves, right? We're not going to open doors to this Costco. It's time for us to focus on something else." Is the city left holding the bag on? The city's made an investment here. What are the city's options if Costco were to take steps backward, which we don't anticipate? But I know that's a question out there.
Well, the P3 agreement that Dale has referred to between the city and the Costco and the developer includes some clawback provisions. They address various failure scenarios that any time after closing takes place. And all the way up until about 5 years after the opening of Costco. And under each one of them, either one or both of the parties would be required to reimburse the city for its sunken cost if there is some sort of failure scenario. And Dale probably even has more specific detail that he could add to that if that's of interest.
So even if it gets built and gets constructed and the doors open and then they close a year later, the city's not at risk.
Exactly. As Jim was saying, the P3 agreement has three to four sort of key scenarios. Let's say the agreement goes south before Costco ever breaks ground. Well, then there are certain costs that the city would get back. Could be the costs associated with the property acquisition. Again, depending on whether or not any costs have been expended towards the public improvements. But all along the way, there's protection, and Costco is the protector, if you will, where they are legally obligated to reimburse the city for sunk costs. Ultimately, the highest sunk cost that we've recalculated as part of the site agreement that we entered into with Costco, I think puts that number somewhere around $11.2 million. And again, that would be in the event that we make it all the way to opening. In other words, all the money has been expended, but they either don't open or they don't stay open for at least 5 years. And so, no agreement is perfect, and no agreement is without its own risk. But this is one that I think is structured in a way that will both protect the city as well as make it advantageous for all parties to move as expeditiously as they can to get to an open store situation. And so we tried to build that in to the strategy of the overall agreement.
So when a corporation or the staff or our partners, like the Longmont Economic Development Partnership, bring an opportunity to the city to attract, in this case, a Costco, could be other businesses or corporations. Part of the calculus that the city does is based on benefits, not just to the corporation, and not just in terms of sales tax, but turnover in multiple times in the community. What are some of the collateral benefits for Longmont? What, in terms of the criteria that you would consider, the numbers of jobs, the compensation levels, how employees are treated, not just in Costco. I mean, this is, you could generalize this to others, but this in relationship to Costco, what are the other benefits that we'll see to Longmont and to Longmonters and to the surrounding area when Costco gets open?
So that's a good question. Well, Jim, do you want to go first? Go ahead.
You know, I think in general, what I would say that we think, first of all Longmont citizens would benefit from the revenue stability that Costco would provide, because sales tax is our primary source of revenue, and it funds things like public safety, library, museum, senior services, youth services, and then we also have voter designated sales tax going for open space and streets as well. So those, of course, are things that the community benefits by, and of course the affordable housing project, once developed, would also benefit Longmont residents. So there are certainly benefits in that respect. I don't have job data or spin-off revenues to throw at you. I don't have any of that, but certainly there would be that. And probably within, let's say, the Harvest Junction area itself, you might see some more business come in that area as well to fill holes in that space because just of the Costco opening nearby.
Synergy that creates.
Right.
Dale, were you going to add to that?
I was going to add, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, Costco is known in the industry as an employer that takes pretty good care of their employees. And so there are a number of jobs coming to the area. And I think it's important for the city to have a whole mix of jobs, right, that our folks are qualified to do and eligible to compete for. I also understand that there's, you know, quite a bit of longevity in a Costco employee. They tend to hire in and then have some opportunities to move up through the company. And so I think we also look at that. You know, that's not necessarily a huge determining factor, but they, again, they're known as a corporation that treats their employees well.
And any corporation or business that wants to partner with the city and take advantage of whatever incentives the city might make available, aren't they required to meet some thresholds in terms of compensation of their employees? Like their wages need to be at least at the county, Boulder County median, which would be true for this Costco.
I think that might be, and I'll let Jim know because he's more respond, but I think those tie in more when we are recruiting a primary employer. I think the Costco project was the criteria it was reviewed under was tied more to the revenues that it was bringing to the city in the form of sales tax. And you'll recall that we did pass an ordinance that in order to say be eligible for a reimbursement or a refund of some of the raw water costs, that they have to be a business that will generate, I believe it's $2.5 million of revenue back to the city in order to be eligible. So it did get scored on those kinds of criteria. But Jim, other areas?
Yeah, and I think Dale really stated it correctly. That it's the section of the code that you were referring to is about the primary employers and the incentives that go there. The majority of the city's dollars in this project are really from the sales tax dollars that, in a sense, were used to paying for these improvements. And none of that is really covered in that section of that code. So I think Dale really covered the rest of it that we are doing from other criteria, though.
That's sort of the difference between a Costco project and, say, a Smucker's project, where Smucker's came in as a large industry with hundreds of jobs. We definitely looked at looked at their pay scale for the variety of jobs there.
In those cases, we want to make sure that they're like 5% above the average of the county living wage. Yeah. And all I'm saying is we did not make that measurement against the Costco project because it wasn't incentives that fell under that area of the code. I'm not saying that they don't meet that, but we haven't measured that.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I obviously merged the two in my question. But we do, going back to what we know about how Costco treats their employees and what their wages are, I'm confident that they would meet that criteria had that been part of the threshold they meet to be eligible for any kind of an incentive program. And just maybe one more comment on the incentive that the city would bring through a public-private partnership. When a Costco's considering, Costco in particular, considering moving to a municipality, do they locate in municipalities that won't partner with them and have some skin in the game in terms of investment in the infrastructure required to make this happen?
You know, I'm going to speculate. I don't know the clear answer to that. I don't think in general that would be the case unless they felt that they needed to locate in a certain community. They needed to be there for other reasons and whether they got something or not. So that may happen in some places. I don't think it's happening in Colorado though.
Right. The ones that we have heard about, you know, certainly the Timnath store as well as the store that's being built in the North Denver area. both have substantial economic incentives for them to be located there.
And I just think for general consumption, for citizens who don't understand, who have concerns or questions about how all that works, right, understand if you're going to compete for an enterprise like this, other municipalities are willing to have skin in the game. And for those that are not, you have a chance to watch them progress with their own economic development efforts and create the kind of benefits for the residents that this one's going to create for us, for our residents. So anything we've missed in terms of updating this chapter of the story? If we get it all closed in February, we start to see potentially dirt moving in March. And then when would the doors open? Maybe, if all things go well.
That's the one thing we probably haven't hit yet. And, we're anticipating that it could be opening in the second half of 2023, in that late summer, early fall. Costco does have criteria, though. They will not open a store, I believe it's any time after October, and they will defer it then to the following March. And so we are, our goal, our interest is to get this thing built and those doors open as soon as it can. So.
Well, that's new information, that there's a dark period or quiet period for them in terms of opening new warehouses. So I've when people have asked, what do you know about Costco? I've said, well, maybe you'll do your Christmas shopping there in 2023. Sounds like maybe they'll do their back to school shopping there in 2023.
If we're lucky, you bet.
All right.
That's right.
Fellows, is there anything else that you think Longmonters ought to know about this?
I appreciate the opportunity, Tim, to get some additional information out into the community and let Longmont folks know, again, to the best of our understanding, how it's coming forward. So,
and I just say that, you know, I know there's a lot of work has gone into this. Dale's probably lived this for 2 years now or something, but we feel real confident that we got the best deal possible in getting this Costco here to the city. That there, when this first began, other locations, the costs was dramatically more than we've even been close to considering for this site. And so I think it's going to be a good deal for the city.
And I think I'd be remiss too, having worked with Costco as well as Diamond G with Reggie Golden. They have both been incredibly businesslike and have lived up to their commitments and to the city. And so that's always helpful as well. To
have those are the kind of people in organizations you want to work with.
Strong partners.
Who are trustworthy because they've earned your trust. Yep. Yeah. And I know Jim has recently consistently pointed out that he is not part of the Golden family. Make that easy for Jim. Gentlemen, thanks again for your time today. And like I said earlier, thank you so much for what you've done for the city and its residents over such a long period of time. This will be a fun part of your legacy. I mean, I know there are many parts, many contributions and are part of that legacy, but this is going to be a great, big, visible one that serves the community well for a long time. Longmonters, the backstory is all about learning what's going on in your town from the people who are making it happen. And in this case, you heard from the two people who've been in the middle of this from the very beginning and are going to see it through and make certain it comes to a successful conclusion in Longmont. And that's the backstory on Costco and what comes next.